Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Culture Rich Conversations, a collaboration between KTOO and the Juno Black Awareness Association. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and this week we have a return guest, my friend, Heather Peterson. Hi, Heather. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, of course. Last time it was so much fun, and then we kept getting requests that like, oh, yeah, you should do another one. You should do another one. And I was like, oh, of course. That's one of the easier shows to do. So.
It really is.
Yeah,
it's,
it really
it's
is.
It's just a lot of fun that I get to come in here and chat with my friend, really.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because now we have to schedule it.
Yeah, we do. It's not as easy as it used to be.
It's not as easy as it used to be. And our kids are getting older, so it should be getting easier.
It should be, but, you know.
But it's not.
It never is.
Anyway, having Heather here is always a blast. She's easy to talk to. And I just wanted to ask her back into the show because I feel like so much has happened since the last time we were together.
A lot has happened.
A lot
for
has
both
happened.
Of us.
For both of us.
For sure.
Yes.
And a lot of parallels, too, though.
Yes.
We have done a lot of the same things.
We have done a lot of the same things. It's
right.
Crazy. In the last time, for those who are avid listeners, you probably remember that me and Heather talked right after the murder of George Floyd, and we talked about the racial tension and what it was like to have an interracial friendship. On the show, we've also talked about interracial dating, but me and Heather just wanted to talk about interracial friendships. For those of you who do not know, I, Kelly, am Black.
I am white.
And Heather is white. And so it comes up. We definitely talk about race, and we talk about culture, and we share, and we ask questions, and it's just part of who we are. But what's going on in your life, Heather?
Well, since the last time, I guess I have moved jobs.
You did move jobs.
You didn't really move jobs, but you took over a lot of jobs.
I did take over
you,
a lot of jobs.
You put on a lot of different hats.
I did. I did.
And I think it's getting a little better now.
It is. And it actually caused a lot of stress, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
We'll get into it later.
My new job isn't that stressful. I'm actually with a great group of people, so that makes it easy.
But that is also your personality. You tend to not take on a lot of stress.
It's true. I try not to.
Yeah. My sister-in-law is like that, too. She's like, I'm not the type of person who just toughs it out. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's not her.
I'm going to make it be good.
Yeah. Or do something else.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. If it's not a good situation, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah. So you like your new job?
I do.
That's
I like
good.
It. Yeah. It's good. It's like I feel like I'm actually like doing something now.
Mm-hmm.
I can see like the efforts that I put into things. So
good.
I like that about it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to?
I bought a house.
We did buy houses. We bought
both
houses.
Of us.
Yes.
And we closed within, what, two, three weeks of each other?
Two, 3 weeks of each other. And we did not pre-plan it.
This was not planned.
She came and said, I'm thinking about buying a house. And I was like, me too. And we also both had out-of-town guests staying at our old houses weeks before we were supposed to close
weeks
and move
before.
Into our new house. It was terrible.
It was, but, it, you know, I love guests. You
I
know,
do.
I love having guests. So
I do.
It was still a joy.
And my brother came, and
right.
I haven't seen
and
my brother
love
in forever.
Your brother. When you, you know,
I do
you
love my brother. Visits. But it also, like, all moving had to stop. And then all of a sudden, it had to commence.
Right.
And then I did the 4th of July committee here in Juneau.
Right.
And that took up a lot of time, too, right in the middle of the summer. Because I think we closed on ours, like, right in the middle of July.
Yeah, and mine was July 1st.
Yeah, and mine was like July 20-something.
Right.
So it was within a few weeks.
Right.
Yeah. But mine has needed a little bit of work, which we have loved doing.
Right.
And yours was perfect.
I wouldn't say perfect, but I got so lucky. Like, I really lucked into the house.
She did.
Because when I started my new job, my supervisor was retiring and moving out of state.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I guess I need to sell a house. And I was like, I could really buy one of those.
Right.
And so, I did, you know, I got to do the whole process without a realtor, which made it, I don't know, more affordable.
Which
for
is
sure.
very white of you, Heather.
It is. Well, I do want to say that I was a realtor in my younger life.
Oh, okay.
So it's like it's not like I was just jumping into it.
That's good. That is good. Yes, that's definitely a racial difference. Our home values are very different.
Yeah.
And I think racially, this was the first time I had bought a house. And I'm older than Heather. And this is probably your
right.
what?
This is my third?
Her third house.
House?
So it was definitely a different kind of experience for the two of us, I think.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more stressful. Well, I don't know. Was yours stressful?
Mine, it was the easiest home purchase I've ever had.
Mine was not.
Was it not?
It was not.
Did you find, like, the most difficult?
Finding a house.
Right.
The market was not
There's
great.
Absolutely nothing out there.
Right. We would go and look at a house on Friday, and it would be gone by Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We would put in a bid and be outbid by, like, $50,000, $60,000.
Right.
So it was – finding a house was hard, navigating all the paperwork, and I just loved our realtor. I loved our finance person. They were both fantastic, and they were both very hand-holding and very supportive of us being first-time homebuyers.
Right.
So I think that was super important that we had someone that we trusted because we knew both of them before we went into
right.
this process.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So I think that helped a lot. But it was definitely stressful for Michael and I. Yeah. And
yeah.
then even when we found a house and it was time to close, the stress didn't stop. It's still like, then you have to get it inspected and then you have
right.
to go and get it re-inspected. And then
yeah.
you have to do the final walkthroughs and we don't know what we're looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, we were like, we're just going to skip the inspections and we're just going to, this is good. Whatever the bank required, like at a minimum. And
it was
pretty easy.
It was kind of stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love it. I love my house.
I feel like it was totally worth it.
It was worth
it's
it.
It's such a good neighborhood.
It is a good neighborhood. I live off Back Loop, and she lives up on the Twin Lakes area. So we're both in really good parts of town.
Right.
My child, however, for those of you who don't know Juno, is in high school with Heather's child.
Right.
And he goes to Juno Douglas, which is all the way downtown.
Downtown.
Well, not all the way. If you're in Juno, then you
okay,
understand.
But, like, it's not, you know, Back Loop to downtown. That is as far as you can get.
Yeah. Except for out the road. Yeah.
Right.
So it's, I sometimes think like maybe he should have just gone to TM, but he's loving Juno Douglas.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you gotta put them where they're going to thrive.
Yeah.
And then so much of it has to do with the sports that they play and like
yeah.
what team they want to play for.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really have a choice. You know, it's like hockey team. You have to go to
yeah.
JDHS or I think you can do it homeschool too because I did that for a year.
Yeah, she did. She homeschooled 2021. And I sent my son, we did online learning and he stayed with the Juno School District. How did Dane do?
He did amazing. Like, you know, he's just so pliable. He's so easygoing. Like, it wasn't a problem for him. It was more stressful for me.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm always worried about everything. Oh, he's missing out on so much with school. And really, still, I feel like they are.
Yeah.
Even with them being in school, it's just like, it's not the same as it was.
Yeah.
There's no school dances.
Right.
You know, none of the fun events, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Amir did okay. He is a social child. My child
mm-hmm.
is very social.
He is.
So when they did start to go back to school, he was like, he had too much stimulus. Like, it was.
Yeah.
It was too much for him. So we ended up putting him back in online learning for the end of the year. And I think that worked out pretty well for him. But this year with school, it's been interesting. I was a little nervous about it. And with COVID, it's so weird because we had totally different experiences. Like the first round of COVID, like March 2020, like Heather.
I was a mess, like a total mess. Like I was like, is it the end? The end is near.
And I was okay.
Yeah.
I did okay. I locked myself in this little bubble and we...
And I'm over here freaking out, and Kelly's just, like, flippant. She's
yeah.
like, whatever, it's fine.
It's
I'm
fine.
Not getting COVID, like, whatever.
Yeah. And
I just
we
want to
stayed
go back
indoors.
To the office.
Yeah, we stayed indoors and we did what we were supposed to do and we kept our kids at home and we only went to the grocery store, gave everybody 6 feet, and I did okay. But then
I. But you're kind of like a homebody.
I am.
To begin with.
Very much a homebody to
right.
begin with. So it was okay for me. And then when did the kids go back? September of 2020?
I think it was September of 2020, but Dane didn't go back. He just stayed in homeschool the whole year because I just didn't want to change it.
Oh. So it must have been 2021 that they went back then.
Yeah.
So September 2021, and those of you who listen to the show often, you may remember that my word of the year for 2021 was like decisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And did 2021 make me decisive? Yes, it did. From from picking houses and buying houses. And mm-hmm. I feel like it was definitely like a prophetic word for me
right.
that I had to make so many decisions on if I was going to let my child go back to school. That was really stressful for me on if I was going to let him go back to school, if I was going to let him get vaccinated, if I was going to
yes.
if I was going to get vaccinated.
Right.
All of those things were things that were long conversations in my house. Like
right.
they were really long conversations and it stressed me out.
It did.
Like when the world started opening back up, but not really opening back
mm-hmm.
up, I was stressed.
Right.
Like I was almost paralyzed.
Well, I felt like maybe you were just got so comfortable in what you were doing and then it all kind of just changed again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay. And again.
Yeah. Again, and I felt like it opened, but not really, which kind of
right.
made me feel safe, but not safe.
Right.
It's like I'd rather be completely not safe
right.
or completely safe. I don't do well with like this in between of
I could see that.
Not really
especially,
safe, but kind of.
Yeah. And especially because you were so on the fence about vaccination at first.
I was.
And why do you think that was?
For me or for my kids?
Start with you.
For me, I don't know. I just didn't trust it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of apprehensive of like, is this something we should really do? How much has it been tested? And it's interesting because I wondered, like, is this a race thing? Like,
yeah.
is this racial? Is it something that's unconscious, something that's
right.
been passed down? When you think about it, like, the government.
Are you less trusting?
Right. The government and black people don't have the best history.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You know,
it's
you think about,
stellar.
Like, we're one generation removed
exactly.
from segregation.
Right.
So it's like the government's like, you should do this. And it's like, should we really? You know, and then half the government saying we should and half the government saying we shouldn't.
Right.
Half your family saying you should and half your family saying we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So my tendency is to lean towards the known.
Right.
And so the known for me at the beginning was to not vaccinate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got to a point where, like, I felt that it was irresponsible to not vaccinate.
Right.
So I decided that I would just go ahead and do it. I was done having babies. Like,
right.
that was a big thing for me. Like, if I was still going to be having babies, I was like, I don't know if I would do this. But I was like, I'm done. Like,
and I think that's kind of what
yeah.
we were worried about with our children.
Yeah.
Too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how is this actually going to affect them when
yes.
they get older?
Especially
no
when it
knows.
First came out and the information wasn't as prevalent and not as
right.
ready. And everywhere you went, like, you know, on Facebook, on social media, in the news, like depending on what station you were on, like it was just so much back and forth, back
mm-hmm.
and forth. And you feel like. Like, as a parent, like, that's your job is to make decisions for your kids. And
mm-hmm.
you're making a decision now that you're not completely sure of. You know, you pick a pediatrician and you think your pediatrician knows what they're talking about. And if they say you should vaccinate your kids, they're like, okay. Like, and
right.
but 10 years from now, you know, you can't go back to your pediatrician and be like, you told me to do this. You know?
Like, exactly. It's not on them.
It's not on them. Like, it was a decision that I definitely had to make.
Right.
So... Yeah, I went and I got vaccinated. And I felt good about it. I didn't get very sick like most people did. It was okay. And then with my son, because he's 14 and he went back to school and I was still leery about vaccinating. But Heather has not been as leery.
I have not been. I was like, get me that vaccine as soon as possible. Like, I'm getting back out there in the world. Like,
yeah.
Whatever I need to do to just get things, like, back to normal.
Yeah.
So I guess that's how I felt about it. And I mean, I was still on the fence with Dane and, like,
mm-hmm.
whether I should let him get it or not. But in the end, he told me that he would be more comfortable having it. And it's like, who am I to tell him, you know?
Right.
Your safety's fine.
Right. You know? Because it wasn't. We didn't know at the time. Right. It wasn't fine. And when they first allowed 12 and up to get vaccinated, I did not get Amir vaccinated. And I sent him to school, and within a month, he was sent home because he got exposed. And he was just at home. Like, he couldn't go to school online. He couldn't do anything. Then he finally was cleared to go back to school. He didn't get COVID, but he was cleared to go back to school. And he plays soccer. My son is a soccer player. And his soccer team at school was playing in a league here in town, and he couldn't play because he wasn't vaccinated. So at that point, it turned into his quality of life was starting to depreciate because he wasn't vaccinated. And although I don't know that I was necessarily like, yes, I'm going to do this, I definitely weighed like his quality of life versus what could happen. And I decided that for me, I wanted him to be able to enjoy as much as he could, whether that be being in school, because every single time they got exposed, they were sent home for 5 days. And I couldn't have him missing school that much. Like, I just couldn't. And he was missing being with friends and playing soccer. And I just wanted him to enjoy it as much as he could. Like, there's so much that they have missed out on and not been able to do and not been able to travel. I just didn't want him to miss out on anything else if we could keep from it.
Yeah, it was when Dane went back, he was fully vaccinated, I think, from the start of the school year. And it really went very smoothly. I was so happy to see that, you know, with being vaccinated, he wasn't being sent home if he was in close contact. It's just like, watch for symptoms.
And
so it was pretty smooth.
And then after all of that in preparation, both of our families caught COVID still.
We have all had COVID.
We have all had COVID. And it's crazy because, well, Heather, I'll let you tell.
Okay. So my experience with COVID was far worse than the rest of my family's and Kelly's family because I got COVID in October. So it was Delta variant. You still had to quarantine for 10 days and nobody else in my family got it. I was the only one who got sick. And so I was locked in my bedroom for 10 days and they would bring me food upstairs, drop it outside my door, and then yell up when I was allowed to like pop my head out and grab the food and take it back into my room.
I was texting her and texting her and like, are you okay? Do you need anything?
Like, I'm starting to go crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, like, I am pretty lucky in that I have a home computer set up for working from home, so I was able to work the whole time still.
Yeah.
So I did have that, I guess. Is that positive?
Yeah.
I guess so. I wasn't just Netflixing all day.
Yeah.
And I did have a balcony. I was able to go outside and breathe some fresh air. But yeah, by the end of it, I think I was losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then with my family, we caught it in January, and it was like a domino. It was like my husband got sick, and then my daughter, then my son, then me. And I remember thinking, like, what if we're all down, and who's going to take care of, because I have a 14-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. I was like, who's going to take care of the 4-year-old? But luckily, I was able to function. My husband?
No. Out for the count.
Out. For like 3 days. And it was hard, like, and trying to keep him isolated. And then my daughter came down with it like day later, and her temperature, her fever was just 101.9, 100, almost like, it took us a long time, well, a couple days to get it down to a reasonable level. And just the effects of it on the family, like everybody just was exhausted, even after, you know, everything passed through and after everybody was able to go back to school, just exhausted. And my daughter, interestingly, she got a cold sore. She bit her lip and her immune system was fighting so hard to beat COVID that this poor cold sore just would not go away. Like,
baby.
And so she wouldn't eat and we were feeding her popsicles and she just was uncomfortable. And then she got night terrors. Like, as soon as her fever broke, she got night terrors. And, you know, we called the pediatrician. We're like, what's going on? And they're like, well, sometimes night terrors are brought on by fevers. So it wasn't even the COVID itself. It was just some of the effects, I think. And they say it affects everybody and every person differently. And it was just so, I don't want to say interesting. It's not the right word, but it definitely brought our family, brought things into perspective.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, after that, you know, I feel like, thank God, you know, I got vaccinated. My husband got vaccinated. Mm-hmm. My son is vaccinated. So everybody, you know, they were down for a couple of days. And after that, everybody was up and ready to go. And, mm-hmm. you know, we stayed in the house and we watched movies. And I was able to work, too, because I'm working from home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we didn't have to just take off work and all of that. But it was interesting.
Yeah. And I think at the same time that you guys were done with COVID, then my son brought COVID back from Anchorage, mm-hmm. like the very next day right. after.
Right. Yeah. Because yeah. we got it and I called Heather and Heather dropped off popsicles for the baby yeah. and chicken noodle soup.
And some COVID tests.
COVID tests.
The home tests mm-hmm. so that they could keep it because and, Amir wasn't testing positive yet.
Yeah.
So you were mm-hmm. still kind of keeping tabs on him.
Yep. And Motrin. And then after she dropped that stuff off, you know, she put it outside and then called me. It's like, it's outside on the porch.
yeah, I wasn't going in there again.
And then Dane tested like that night.
Yeah, that very night. And then my husband.
We try to do things together.
We do.
As much as possible.
We really
do. It keeps us connected.
It does. Yeah. then my husband had it. And I was just like, okay, if the two of them have it, I've already had it. Let's just see if I get it again. And so I didn't really quarantine from anyone in the house at that point. And we just kind of went about our regular routines or whatever. Dane was sick for a few days, but, you know, he got over it. And Eric was sick for maybe a day. And throughout all of it, I never tested positive again. So I feel like my immune system is just, like, super powered.
Yes. After the vaccines, the boosters, and right. getting it, you feel like a superhuman
yeah,
at that point.
Exactly. I'm like, obviously, I don't catch COVID anymore. But I did get my booster, too. And I will say that was a terrible experience.
Yes, for me, too. It was rough. The booster was rough.
Yeah.
I got really sick. I got more sick mm-hmm. with the booster than I did with COVID.
Same. Yeah, it was, way more sick.
It was rough. But I would do it again. I want to say that. I want to put that on the air that I would do it again.
I would do it again, too.
That I would do it again to protect me and my family.
Right.
Perfect. This is a great conversation. Thank you, Heather. We are going to take a short break and we will return in just a moment. Good afternoon and welcome back. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and you are listening to Culture Rich Conversations, a collaboration between KTOO and the Juno Black Awareness Association. If you are just joining us, I have my friend Heather Peterson joining me today, and we are just talking about our lives. And so far, it's been pretty good. What do you think, Heather?
I've been having a really good time.
That's good. And we talked about earlier just like COVID and the effect of COVID and how that is affecting our lives. And mm-hmm. for me, another big part of my life is my son and his sports.
Right.
And how everything is like revolving around him and his sports, actually.
Yeah, it feels like everything does revolve around our children and their sports and, right now. And I'm a hockey mom.
And I'm a soccer mom.
And yeah, that dominates.
It does. And it is interesting because I never thought that I would be that mom. And I'm wondering if it's a Juno thing.
It might be. I never thought I would be either. But then now I'm like a member of the fundraising club. I manage the team when we go on trips a lot of the time. And it's just like someone's got to do it.
Right. It is a commitment.
Right.
It's a commitment. And it is, I don't want to say racially biased, but you definitely have to make a certain amount of money.
Yes. You do.
For almost all of them.
Right.
You know, my son plays soccer, which is probably the most popular sport for like third world countries. And right. yet it can get very expensive.
Right.
This will be his first year attempting to play with the high school. So we'll see how that goes if he makes the team and does all that. But we've done, you know, like the Alaska Development Program, and we have to pay to get them out of state, and we have to pay to get them up to Anchorage, and we have to pay to get them into camp and pay for their hotel when they leave and pay, And I don't know if that's Alaska specific because we can't just drive them down the street to play another team.
A lot to do with it. Yeah. You know, my son flew up to Anchorage for President's Day tournament, which shout out, they did really well. Second place. Mm. The final game was intense. They all did so good. We're so proud. But yeah, we got to pay for the hotel rooms.
Right.
And I do think that that is more of like a Juneau-specific problem.
Right.
Than most places. Because most of the time they put the kids on the school bus. They transport them to the next town over. It's a lot cheaper.
And because of that, there's not a whole lot of kids of color that play sports on a really highly competitive level here. There just isn't. My son's competitive soccer team, he was maybe, I don't know, out of 12 kids, there might have been two kids of color, maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's a stretch, you know, that's assuming just by looking at them. But it's definitely harder. I think that we need more programs to help children of color to be able to do stuff like that, to give them access to playing sports and being on sports teams and traveling out of Juneau and doing all kinds of fun things, because I wouldn't take it back. Right. All the money that we've spent send him,
happy
I would never take it back. He has loved it, and it gives him so much pride, and he has excelled and just does so well. But I wish that more children of color had the opportunity to do it, and I wish that my son didn't have to always be that child of color.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that, because I find that we actually have a really diverse group of children in the hockey program. Yeah, we really do.
That's good.
If I think about it. But again, it is kind of income-based for hockey.
Yeah.
Probably a little heavier than
I'm glad my kid wanted to play soccer and not hockey.
Yeah.
He would have been at home if he wanted to play hockey.
Plus, you don't want to sit in that cold rink. I know you.
No, I don't. I don't want to sit in the cold rink. Speaking of sports, we recently had the Super Bowl.
Right.
Super Bowl 51.
With the best halftime show ever.
With the best halftime show is Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, Eminem. Am I forgetting someone? Dre.
You can't forget about
and
Dre.
And Snoop Dogg. And it was really good.
It was.
And I went to Heather's house because I was at Costco. And I went to Heather's house and I was like, I'm just going to come by and watch the Super Bowl show. And it was great. We had a great time. Heather and I knew all of the songs. But my son went to a Super Bowl party at a friend's house and they knew nobody.
Really?
They didn't know a single person. And I was flabbergasted. Like, that was like culturally, those were like huge people.
Right.
You know, like even Kendrick Lamar, he's the newer of the group, but even he's huge.
Right.
Like ever since Black Panther, like Kendrick Lamar has been like pretty huge. So I thought it was so interesting that Mary J. Blige sang Hollery. What's the name of the song?
What is the name of the song?
You know the one I'm talking about.
I know exactly the one you're talking
about. I want to call it Holleration, and that is not the
name
of the song.
It's not what it is.
But that song. And they had never heard of it. Ever. They had never heard the song. And I remember thinking, like, wow. Like how different in culture. And I think that's one reason why I love Heather, because if I bring up a song to her, she's more than likely going to know the artist.
Right.
She's super eclectic.
Yeah, I'm weird.
You're not that weird.
She's
eclectic. So she's going to know. She's going to know.
I like a lot of different things.
Yes. And that's not just with music. That's television. That's podcasts.
Right.
That's everything. And I think that it's important that we expand. And there are certain things that she listens to that I've had to stop and like YouTube it to figure out what she was talking about. But I think it's our willingness to do that, our willingness to stop what we're doing, to take some time to appreciate what the other person likes.
Mm-hmm.
She had me watching the one with the weird title. The girl across the street with the neighbor.
Oh, the woman across the street from the girl in the window.
Yes, on Netflix.
And in fact, I thought maybe you wouldn't like it because you don't like scary shows.
I don't like scary.
But it was funny enough.
It was funny enough.
That I think it was okay.
But it's just an example of one of the things that she really enjoyed it. And so I attempted. And it turned out to be really good. But I think that that's one of the the important things about our friendship that makes it mm-hmm. work is that we're both willing to attempt it. And a lot of times it works, regardless of the avenue that it's coming through or coming on or what's happening. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too.
Anyway, moving on from there. So Heather and I, when we used to work together, I'd say the highlight of our lunch breaks was talking about vacations.
Oh, vacations. We were always planning.
Always. Yeah. We were supposed to go.
Then we couldn't plan.
Like for my, right before COVID was my 40th birthday, and we were going to go to Bali?
We were thinking about Bali,
and we got the kibosh.
The total kibosh.
But have you gone on vacation since COVID?
So, I mean, we've gone on sports trips, of course.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of a given. Is mm-hmm. that a vacation?
No.
Not really. But I did go on vacation over New Year's. And
it
was a bit of a controversial vacation for some.
Yeah.
I went to Disneyland and I took a cruise. And I loved every minute of it.
Yes. And I remember you calling, wondering if you should go or not.
Should I go or should I not go?
Yes.
I was freaking out.
Because family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, family has been a big thing during COVID. And I think that especially family that's not close by to kind of see you every day and keep an eye on you, they tend to worry. And I think that in Juneau, we tend to be a little bit more, I don't know if lax is the word, but we're just not as in close proximity as some of the bigger cities.
Yeah, exactly. We have more space. And like, I don't know. It just seems like we're kind of isolated from so much of it.
Right. And so I think our families who are in larger cities kind of look at their city and then they think about us back here and they're like, ah.
Right.
So.
And I haven't seen my dad in like 2 years, right? Because in the beginning, you couldn't travel. And then, I had my grandma still at the beginning. And you had to be so careful about who could be around her. And but now, finally, my dad is going to be coming to Alaska in 2 weeks. So
nice.
I'm so excited about that.
Nice. I haven't seen, except for my brother when he mm-hmm. came, I haven't seen my mom and dad in, it's been a few years. It's been probably the longest we've ever gone without seeing my parents. So
right.
It's tough.
It is hard.
It's
especially,
tough.
Especially with your mom. She used to be here.
Yeah, she used to be here.
And so, that's a hard separation.
It's hard.
I miss your mom.
Yeah. So do the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, we're making it through. We're doing the best that we can in the situation, and hopefully we'll get to see everybody soon.
Right.
Okay, well, we're just going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome back. I am your host, Kelly Patterson, and you are listening to Culture Rich Conversations, a collaboration between KTOO and the Juno Black Awareness Association. In the studio with me today, I have Heather Peterson, and we are just talking about our lives and what it's like to be in an interracial friendship. And as we wrap up, Heather, I guess one thing that I want to know is, what are your plans for the rest of this year? What are your intentions? What do you want to get done?
Oh, man, I just want to make it through. But, I mean, really, we're coming into, like, the best part of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Winter is almost over. We're having more daylight.
Right.
Summer's almost here. And, you know, my favorite thing to do.
Yes, boating.
Boating. Yeah. It's what I live for.
You know, it works out for both of us. I get fish.
Yeah. It's true.
You get to boat.
Right. Yeah.
I just pray while you're out there.
She does. Anytime I'm in the rough seas, I'll give Kelly a text, be like, do you think you could throw some prayers my way?
Yeah.
Just a little rough today.
Yeah. I worry.
She does. She checks on me.
I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's part of being in Alaska is boating.
It is. Yeah. It's probably the reason I live here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, the end of 2021, like we talked about a little bit earlier, was a little rough for me. And I started mm-hmm. to get really anxious. And I can remember when we went to lunch and we thought that I was having like
right.
issues. Like I was having like all these chest pains and everything. And, you know, I had gone to Anchorage. So, of course, you know, you fly out of town and then you come back. The first thing you think is I have COVID. It's got to be COVID. But it wasn't COVID, but it kept coming and coming. And I was having all these chest pains and I had taken on a little bit more at work. And then I had had like all of this change in my life and there was so much going on. And it turns out that I had anxiety like really, really bad. And for the first time in my life, I had to be prescribed something for my anxiety. And right. I was like, man, this has got to stop. So I think this year for my intentions is to be intentional about what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, what I'm doing,
right.
Not saying yes to everything, because it's like a domino effect where you feel anxious and then you don't deal with your anxiousness. So then you get depressed and then you don't deal with your depression. And then next thing you know, you're like just in a hole. You don't want to come out of your room ever.
Right.
So I'm really trying to be intentional about what I'm saying yes to and what I'm allowing into my life and who I'm spending time with and how much energy I'm spending on certain things and really only doing the things that I want to do. So I really want to be intentional this year, I think.
Intentional.
Intentional. Maybe okay. That's my word of the year is intentional.
I like it.
You like it?
I do. And, you know, honestly, for all the things that could have been wrong, I feel like this is something that you feel like you have some control over, it seems.
Right.
So I think it's probably the best case scenario here. You mm-hmm. know, you can do a mixture of like medicine and just kind of
therapy.
Adjusting. Yeah. Therapy. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I was smart, I would definitely get into some therapy too, because I think we all need it.
We all need it. And they yes. made it so easy. Like COVID right. made therapy easy.
It really did. You can do it online
you
now.
You can do it online. Most of them prefer it online.
I don't know what holds me back from actually doing
hold
it.
You back either.
I don't know.
You should go.
I should do it.
You should.
Gotta work on myself.
You want me to go with you? We can do a couples therapy.
Could we go to couples therapy? Is that a thing?
I could walk you through it.
She's my support person.
We'll just double bill it to our insurance. Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah.
We're double covered.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. But I just think that with so much going on and, you know, like we said, we got the new house and then we had record-breaking snow
yes.
this year.
Oh,
and I moved to the snowiest part of the valley.
You like, did.
My house is like constantly filled with snow. It doesn't stop. Right. And then, you know, the house started leaking.
Oh, yeah.
We did have a leak
mm-hmm.
when the snow started to melt after being like freezing,
which
and
is so,
stressful. Often. It is stressful when you own your first home
right.
and you have more snow than you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time since I've been in Juno, I've been here maybe almost seven. Yeah. And people were like shoveling off their roofs.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of such a thing.
Did you have to make the decision to shovel your roof or not to shovel your roof?
No, thank goodness. But we did have to take the snow off the edges because it was creating icicles.
Oh,
yes. And when the icicles were melting, they were leaking inside the house. Like, we were dumping, like, gallons of water.
Wow.
It was interesting.
Luckily, I was out of town for the really big snow dump.
You were out of town.
And I was
in Cabo.
Yeah.
being ridiculous.
Right, exactly.
She sent me a picture of, like, her son with an iguana on his head. And I was like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. In the sun.
Out of there wearing, in the
right.
snow bay.
And here we are, like, plowing, like, with a snowblower,
yeah.
like, our driveway so that we can walk to the mailbox that's covered in snow.
Yes.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
It sure was. I'm glad. I'm willing to say it's over. I'm pretty sure winter is not going to come back.
I'm pretty sure you're optimistic.
I am very optimistic.
I am
optimistic in nature.
You sound like my son. He's like, we're at the tail end. I was like, your sister was born in April and her baby shower, it was snow.
Oh,
like,
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Such a snowstorm on the way to the baby shower.
Like the end of March. We have more snow coming.
Well, you know, last year we did have a super long winter, so
yeah,
we deserve a shorter one. It's been so heavy.
What we deserve and what we get are two completely
okay,
different things.
You are correct.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Heather.
Oh, thank you.
It is always
for
a pleasure
me
to
come
have you
back.
Maybe in a year or so we'll catch up with you again and see how you're doing, unless something terrible happens, and then we might come and get your opinion before that.
But, yeah, I, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, we're gonna hope that it's smooth sailing from here on out.
Sailing.
Well, Juno, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It was so fun to share our lives with you. Culture Rich Conversations airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. on KTOO. Culture Rich Conversations is a collaboration between KTOO and the Juno Black Awareness Association.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.